Our sermon today, the scripture picks up from where we heard Steve reading earlier this morning, Mark 6, verses 18 through 29. John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Thank you, God, for inviting us to dance with you. Trust me, you would not want to have Thanksgiving dinner with the Herodians. They're worse than the Kardashians, impossible as that may seem. Now, bear with me as I try to sort out the family dynamics. You're going to need a scorecard. This is a soap opera of great magnitude. Okay. Herod Antipas, the Herod in today's scripture, was the son of Herod the Great, the guy who was ruler when Jesus was born. Interesting fact, Herod the Great was only 4 feet 9 inches tall. He was a wee little guy. So he tried to make up for his lack of stature with a big show of bluff and bluster. He was certifiable. He killed his first wife and son, and his second wife and her two sons. Philip was Herod Antipas' half-brother. They had different mothers. Philip married their niece, Herodias. Her father was Herod and Philip's other brother, Aristobulus. He was the high priest, so Herodias was Jewish royalty. Herod Antipas fell in love with Herodias and convinced her to leave Philip and marry him. Herod was married to the daughter of Aretas, the king of the Nabatea, but he divorced her to marry Herodias. Later, Aretas would go to war against Herod to avenge his daughter. Yes, having Thanksgiving dinner with these folks would have been crazy. Just see what happened at Herod's birthday party. Everybody's having a grand old time, eating the best food, drinking to their heart's content, cake and ice cream, and there was also entertainment. Herod's stepdaughter, traditionally called Salome, came out during the revelry and entranced the attendees, all men, with a seductive dance. Herod was so taken with her smooth moves that he made a rash and foolish vow. "Whatever you want, even half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you." Promising her half of his kingdom was just his hype. He wasn't a king. He had no kingdom. He only ruled a quarter of the kingdom. Half of nothing is nothing. But still, wow, that must have been some dance. The word in the original scripture used for girl usually means a younger girl, so so-called Salome might have been a teenager. And so perhaps Herod thought she would ask for something typically teenage girlish, a new dress, a new necklace, a new iPhone. That's what he expected her to ask for, but he didn't expect her to consult his wife, Herodias, who told her exactly what to ask for, John the Baptist's head on a platter. Put on the spot in front of his colleagues, his courtiers and officers and the leaders of Galilee, afraid of losing face, Herod ordered John to be executed. John's severed head was brought to Salome, and she in turn gave it to her mother. I vaguely remember seeing a movie about this tragic story. And when John's head was brought to Salome on a platter, just as she requested, she screamed. I thought, what are you screaming for? This is what you asked for. And whenever I read this passage of scripture, I'm like, Herodias, girl, Now, what are you going to do with that? Where are you going to put John's head? On your mantle? On your nightstand? Are you going to carry it around with you? What are you going to do with it, Herodias? Herodias was odious. My friend Brenda, who's from Arkansas, would say Herodias was a haint. I think that means a mean, evil, manipulative, conniving woman. Herodias could hold a grudge like nobody's business. And the current object of her fury was John the Baptist. John and Herod weren't exactly buddies per se, but Herod often had John come to his palace to talk to him. He liked listening to him, but some of the things John said confused and scared him. John didn't hold back. He told Herod exactly how it was. He told Herod straight up that his marriage to Herodias was unlawful, not only because she was his niece, but also because of the dictates written in the Torah. You may be surprised to learn this, but Herod was a Jew, although only nominally, only when it was inconvenient for him. Still, he should have known the prohibitions against his marriage. Leviticus 18:16 says, "You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness." Leviticus 20:21 says, "If a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless." Brothers were allowed, even expected, to marry their brother's widow if they had no children, so they could have children in the dead brother's name. But obviously, Philip wasn't dead. How bold of John to confront Herod. He most likely shared with Herod the same kinds of ideas and truths he shared with the people who came to him to be baptized. The crowds asked him, "What should we do?" And John said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." It does not seem that Herod took any of these grandiose ideas to heart, but he liked to hear John tell other people to do them. Herodias must have sat in on some of these audiences. Each one only raised her ire more. She didn't like having someone judging her and disrespecting her marriage. She began to plot ways of getting rid of John, but there was one obstacle. Herod protected him. Herod realized John was a righteous and holy man, and he was reluctant to do anything to him. Herod had a modicum of decency, we'll give him that. Herodias didn't. I wondered if perhaps John's steadfast faith and wise words were beginning to get to Herod. Did he secretly agree with John's words about his marriage? Was he feeling guilty about it, how he had taken Herodias from his brother? I wonder if maybe he was beginning to lean toward accepting John, maybe even thinking about getting baptized and changing his lifestyle. Herodias would not have liked that. Give up all she had? Repent of her sins? Please. She continued to plot how she could get rid of John, keep him away from Herod, and Herod's birthday party gave her the perfect opportunity. Salome's behavior is rather odd. Why did she go along with her mother's request? Was she trying to stay on her good side? Was she in cahoots with her, trying to upstage Herod and make him look bad in front of everyone? Maybe she'd heard her mother complaining about John and thought she could save her mother from feeling bad about herself, from hearing over and over that she was a sinner. Maybe Salome wanted to show her mother she was against John too. Both women surely knew how the honor system worked in their culture. They knew Herod could not back down from Salome's demand without losing face. Did they want to push him to see how far he would go? The girl asked for John's head immediately. No time to reconsider, no time to dilly-dally and put off the execution with excuses. Now, immediately. Herod was sorry it had come to this, sorry he had made that stupid promise. But Herod was a coward. He couldn't save John because that would risk his reputation. And really, his reputation as a hard-nosed, ruthless ruler was all he had going for him. Herod wanted to maintain his honor, prestige, and power, so he gave the order to execute John. Herod was caught between a rock and a hard place. Would he acquiesce to the prophet or to his wife? Would he continue to put up with Herodias's nagging, or would he continue to protect John? He didn't want to lose face, so John ended up losing his head. You can tell Herod's conscience bothered him when he started hearing the stories about Jesus and all the miracles he was doing. His first thought was, who is this guy? John the Baptizer? But I beheaded him. And at least he took responsibility for the dastardly deed. Herod was scared of John's power if he indeed had risen from the dead. Was he coming back to haunt Herod or even take revenge on him? Herod apparently believed people could be raised from the dead. What was he going to do when he learned about Jesus' resurrection? What's the lesson we need to learn from this scripture? Don't dance. Don't cause anyone to hold a grudge against you. Don't hold grudges yourself. Don't mess with Herodias. Yeah, that's a biggie. Be careful of the promises you make. Is this story a call to us to examine how we respond to stark truth when it's told to us? Are we like Herodias, unimpressed and full of vengeance, unrepentant and not about to change? Or are we like Herod, listening and liking what we hear, even though it scares us, but never making a decision to turn away from decadence and indecency and accept grace and mercy? Does Herodias have any redeeming factors? Do we feel sorry for her? Should we feel sorry for her? We'll have to give her one thing, her loyalty to her husband. Even when he was banished for angering the emperor, she stayed with Herod. Ultimately, they committed suicide together. Or is the lesson given to us by John to stay true to the truth and to our own convictions and never back down, even in the face of death? Stand up for what we believe in and speak truth to power? Yes. John's head was put on a platter, but how useless was that? Really, what was Herodias going to do with it? John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, his herald, his first witness. Jesus' whole body was placed on a cross, as gruesome an execution as John's. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to scream and turn away? Are we going to look up and let our hearts be changed? Are we going to let it point us to a greater truth, the truth of God's love for us all? Are we going to let it point us to a better life in honor of the sacrifice Jesus made for us? What are we going to do with that? I'd like to add one more thing. My birthday is this week. I certainly would not like someone's head on a platter, but cake on a platter. Now that would be nice. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the bold witness of your servant, John the Baptizer. May we be as steadfast about the truth and about our faith as he was, steadfast against hate and opposition, strong in the life-changing power of your love. Amen.
Jesus and live. and live. Fly to Jesus.